gonna jump right in with a quick episode. We all got shit to do, but it's gonna be a little bit because I'm gonna be gone for a while visiting family, and then going up to Emerald City Comic Con, and then hopefully life will kind of return to normal. But
I'm gonna be gone till the 18th of April.
Where are you going, Dick?
I'm going to North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Everyone's doing some traveling.
Military missions.
Yeah, you know. You know, fight the good fight.
So, yeah, we're going to knock out a quick one. And, you know, that way we aren't leaving you hanging for quite as long as it would be without something. So, we're just going to jump right in with Netflix picks.
All right, I got my first Netflix pick. I got two today, guys.
I can't believe this. You got two.
I know. I watched a couple things.
The day that we gotta keep it short, the guy comes, guns loaded.
Here's the thing. These are the only two things I've watched on Netflix. Here's how I usually do my Netflix pick. If I watch something and I make it all the way through it, that's my Netflix pick.
That qualifies it to be your pick.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm very particular.
Good or bad, if you made it through.
Yeah, very particular about what I actually sit and watch all the way through. So, first one is A Young Doctor's Notebook.
I thought about watching this myself. I saw the screen of Jon Hamm and Daniel Radcliffe, and I'm like, oh my, what is that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Was it good?
Yeah, Jon Hamm plays Daniel Radcliffe's older self, and they talk to each other. No one else can see
these
Jon
two
Hamm.
Assholes are supposed to be the same guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Dick, calm down. Well, fuck. So, what you're telling me is bone structure changed?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dick, calm down. So tell us all about it. I'm guessing, if I had to guess by their attire, is it in the Russian Revolution?
It is.
Tell us all
about it. How did you know? So Daniel Radcliffe is a fresh out of medical school doctor, and he gets sent to some fucking little podunk.
How old is Radcliffe supposed to be in this? Is he a Doogie Howser?
Yeah.
I think he's, I don't know, like early 20s, I want to say.
This is like a day over 12, man.
He doesn't. But it's not even a town he gets sent to. It's just a hospital out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And he doesn't really know what he's doing. He replaces this doctor who they hold in high reverence. And they talk about all the time. Keep comparing him to him. Okay. Be like, oh, well, so-and-so would never do that, and, like, shit like that. He chain-smokes like a motherfucker, and he botches a bunch of fucking operations.
Between that, it switches to him as old, handsome, dapper Jon Hamm.
Yeah. He's a great doctor by then, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can write this.
Yeah. It's a little drug addiction developing.
Something you sniff?
Something you shoot.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey, how do you get access to that?
The
doctor. It's yeah. Jokes. These are jokes, guys. Oh, yeah. Up top.
Hello.
You guys, what? You guys, what?
So, it's only... Right now, there's only 4 episodes. And it doesn't end. Really. You know what I mean? Like, the fourth episode isn't the ending.
Huh. That's shitty.
It really is.
So this is just a taste of the series. The
episodes are around, like, you know, 22, 23 minutes each. You can bust
burn
them out
through
pretty
that.
Quick.
And yeah. Let's see, 22, carry the 1, carry the 2. Let's continue with that math. Yeah, it would only
it's the
take
perfect
you...
length for Richard to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
what's your other pick?
What is my other
pick? I
mean,
that sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and this one's got Simon Pegg and Kirsten Dunst.
Jeez.
I really don't like Simon Pegg.
No!
I know. Wrong. It's not popular opinion.
I like Simon Pegg. I do. I do.
I feel like you don't enjoy life as much as I do.
He enjoys life.
He was rude to my wife, so I automatically don't like him.
Why was he rude to you? Where and how?
She went to Comic-Con maybe a few years ago, and he was there, and they shared an elevator. Kind of looks like this scene here.
Okay.
And he was just fucking rude. He was just a dick.
What did he say?
If she wasn't being his sarcastic self.
She wasn't trying to, like...
Was he like, did you queef?
I don't know. We'd have to talk to her about it, get the details. But I just... Ever since then, I haven't liked him. I automatically don't like him.
That almost makes me like him more. Even though I'm quite fond of your wife, I like the idea of a man being a dick in an elevator. Because that's when you gotta stand by your dickness. Like,
he's there to, like...
He can't get away. Oh, he's like, I'm a dick.
This guy's so lucky to be fucking famous and popular.
I'm a cock. Well, the movie is called How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. Well, he's alienated that. He's got that sweet lady wife. I don't remember if I finished it or not. I may have fallen asleep.
Wait, this doesn't qualify.
I know, it doesn't qualify. But I watched most of it. And what I watched, I enjoyed. I feel like I finished it. I don't remember how it ends, though. But anyway, Simon Pegg writes for some shitty, like, tabloid. And, we can just read the thing. Boris tabloid writer Sydney tries to curry favor with the synthetic glitterati. He covered... Fuck, I'm fucking hungover, dude. I'm having a really hard time seeing it. He covers as well as his imperious boss with disastrous results.
So is Kirsten Dunst his boss or coworker?
Or just some bitch he's alienating in an elevator?
Hey, easy with that B word.
All three. She's kind of his boss because she's been there longer, but he has another boss who's a huge dick.
Played by Danny Houston.
Take easy with the D word.
Yeah, take it easy.
A cock.
And take it easy with the C word, too. A little bit of it's... The beginning's good.
The middle was good. I couldn't tell you about the ending. And I really can't remember a whole lot of plot points right now.
They all die in a bloodbath at the hands of Sydney as he tries to mix with the synthetic glitterati.
But yeah, he's just trying to get stories, trying to get in there, trying to write, trying to be himself. And what he does best is write, like, talk shit about people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since he's worked for tabloids and shit for so long. And, he's trying to mix and mingle and get some shit going. Everyone fucking hates him.
Yeah, like me.
But, of course, you know, they start to develop a little thing.
No, she can see, get out of here.
Let me guess, she can see through that shittiness. And yes, she can see there's a good man inside. And let me guess, in the third act, maybe he does something to... She's developed feelings. He pisses her off.
Of course.
And it looks like things are going to hit the skids. But then he discovers that through her love, he can, in fact, be a better man and a better person. And so it's kind of a redemption tale.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good, man. Sounds like it's hitting that rom-com formula. It looks like there's a scene with him brushing his teeth, which is really important in movies like this because it gives the protagonist, who's kind of a shithead, an opportunity to look in the mirror and really assess, like, who am I? What have I become?
And show little vulnerability.
Makes him look a little more human.
A little human moment. Like, bring him down. Even though our protagonist is kind of a dick, just keep in mind... Yeah, I'm sorry about that D word. Hey, even though our protagonist is kind of a mean person, he's all right. So I'm pulling this up, but I don't even have to pull it up. I love this movie so much, and I never saw it until quite recently because it never looked cool to me. But it's Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, starring Forrest Whitaker, James Torme, Cliff Gorman. I don't know who the two of those guys are. But you know Forrest Whitaker. He's the guy, he's got a little bit of a lazy eye. He's been in all kinds of things, right?
Mm.
All kinds of things. And in this, he plays a guy who... He had his life saved, and... This is a classic case of a narrator that you can't trust because it shows flashbacks to when he got saved. And it shows it from two different perspectives. One being from Forrest Whitaker's perspective, the other being from the perspective of the person that saved him. Both of them remember this incident kind of different. But the important thing is Forrest Whitaker's character, the Ghost Dog, remembers it as him being saved, and he's really into studying the ways of the samurai. So he becomes this guy that saved him. He becomes his retainer. He becomes his soldier, his samurai.
Would you say he rises above the chaos that surrounds him?
I don't know if he rises above it. I know that that's what it says right there. But he lives on top of a building in a shitty little shack, and he raises these pigeons, much like Mike Tyson does. And, well, Mike Tyson doesn't live in a shitty little shack, but he does raise pigeons. Forrest Whitaker is all about it. He lives on top of this building, and he does hits for this guy that saved him, because the guy's in the mafia, and he calls upon the ghost dog to do these hits. It's directed by Jim Jarmusch, which, if you're familiar with his stuff and you like his stuff, chances are you're really going to like this one, too. RZA does the soundtrack. RZA is in this briefly in a kind of cool moment.
Does he wield a sword?
No, he wields a gun, but he treats it like a sword. Huh. Like, he kind of... There's some parts that my wife would... My wife liked this movie. She watched it with me, and she was kind of laughing because when he would sheath his gun, when he would holster his gun, he would swing the gun around like a samurai sword for a second and then stick it in. It's just super, super cool, super compelling. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've been talking about this movie a lot since I saw it. And I think that when you find yourself talking about a piece of entertainment an awful lot after you do it, that's a true mark of if something, if something's good or bad. Even movies that I've thought were bad that I found myself talking about a lot after, I realize there's an inherent value to being so moved or so stirred by something that you find yourself having conversations about it after. Ghost Dog's going to be one of those things. There's these great moments where it just has text on the screen of this samurai book that he's reading. Lots of cool philosophy stuff getting thrown around. Just really cool. I liked
it. I wouldn't expect it for you to be rooting for it and saying good things about it, 'cause it looks terrible. Like, just the cover photo.
The name.
But...
Guys, I'm telling you.
I believe you. I'm actually going to watch it because you've praised it.
And Jim Jarmusch.
I trust you. I trust you.
Jim,
your taste.
Jim motherfucking Jarmusch. He's not just a beautiful head of hair. He's also quite a filmmaker. And...
Oh, you know, Ghost in the Darkness is a great movie.
Yeah, The Ghost in the Darkness is a great movie. Well, in The Ghost and the Darkness, that's the names of the two animals that are attacking people.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, so watch that. Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. My other pick, of course, which I'm sure is Jeff's other pick, and potentially Richard's other pick. It's not even Netflix. It's True Detective.
Absolutely.
We're loving it. Loved it. Watched it. Loved it. I don't even want to talk about it a lot because I want to give people who haven't seen it an opportunity to catch up.
I'm finished.
It's absolutely as good as everyone says it is.
Yeah.
Is that going to be it?
They're doing another season. That's it for those characters, I believe.
Okay.
Well, maybe. It's an anthology. We don't know what's going to happen, but I think that Jeff's right in saying I don't expect to see the two main detectives, Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, showing up in season two. I don't think it'll happen. Jeff, what's your Netflix pick?
My pick is The Last Action Hero.
Yes.
Have you guys seen this shit?
Of course.
I haven't watched it in years since it fucking came out. And I saw it came on Netflix, and I instantly popped it on to try to fall asleep to. You know, but I ended up watching the whole fucking thing.
A lot of people are drawn to this because it does have Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. But for me, it was always an Austin O'Brien.
Shut the fuck up. No.
Yeah.
No.
Austin, anyway, Last Action Hero, I watched it as a kid, and I liked it quite a bit. But
I saw it in theater.
Did you see it in theater? It's not like a fucking great movie, but I like the premise of it. I like the idea of, especially having Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of making fun of himself
throughout most, because he stars in a lot of these movies that it's kind of making a joke on, you know?
Yeah.
It's a satire of these films. But at the same hand, it ends up being that exact same movie that they're making fun of, which is kind of strange. You know, they don't break away from it enough to make like a really strong statement about these kind of films, because it ends up just falling for the same traps, the same tropes and shit. But it was super fun, super entertaining, and just silly. I don't know. I really liked it.
It's about a kid that's a big fan of an Arnold Schwarzenegger type action hero.
Yeah, and he gets a magic ticket from Houdini, of course.
Mm.
Right? And then he ends up sucking this boy into the film itself.
Houdini ghost, or...?
Houdini... So, this kid goes to this one, like, decrepit old theater that no one really shows up to, and he's befriended an old man that works there, that runs it, does the projection, whatever, he runs the fucking place, probably owns it. And as a boy, he got a ticket from Houdini, and it meant a lot to him, but he never used it, was too scared that it didn't have any magic, that Houdini was lying, so he didn't want to fucking test it. But then he saw that this kid, he kind of sees himself in this little boy, and he wants to pass this on, and gives it to him to watch the latest movie by that character that he loves so much. And so he ends up giving the kid the ticket, cutting it in half, you know, for him to take a seat. Kid hangs on to it, and the ticket does its magic, sucks him into the movie, so the kid's, like, running around in this movie that he loves so much with characters that he's familiar with, trying to explain to them that they're in a movie and they're not buying it, until eventually Arnold's character gets sucked into our reality, quote-unquote, and along with some of the villains... it was interesting. I don't know. I really liked it, guys.
Yeah.
It's not that great of a movie, but it's entertaining enough.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those movies that you can throw on.
It's just fun. And
if you fall asleep, it's fine.
Yeah, totally. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Just really silly, over-the-top action, just making huge jokes on that whole genre that they were, like, right in the midst of, you know, like, Lethal Weapon and all these other films that were going on around the same time.
Sure.
Arnold plays himself in it, and his character interacts with his real life self. It's pretty interesting.
Is his real life self funny?
No, he's more serious.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. But, so that's my pick.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else in media that you guys have been taking in? Any songs you've been loving, or? No?
Nope.
It's a good thing that we got together and we were like, hey, we gotta keep this one kind of short. We got shit to do. Because I think, like, this past week I worked 12 days in a row. All of them were double shifts. Dick's doing his huge. Jeff's doing his huge. All we've been doing is working, pretty much.
Working.
We've been playing a little bit of music. I put up a website with some of my writing and some artwork on it. Well, I mean, I'm not really trying to get traffic on it quite yet because it's still being developed. But if you want to go there, all of you teeming millions that listen to the cast, it's mwconrad.com, mwconrad.com. You can go on there and click on the work and click on web comics, and you can see some stuff that Jeff drew, and you can look around. There's stuff that Winston has drawn that's scattered throughout the site. I haven't done a great job of highlighting how you can find his stuff almost in a premeditated way, because we're working on a long comic that we're getting pretty close to, and when I say pretty close, I mean, like, it's a little, maybe a couple months off, but we're getting pretty close to wrapping that up, and I kind of want it to be a bit of a surprise. But if you click on the blog section, you can find some artwork by Winston there, or in the short stories section under the story You Are One, you'll see some of his art there. But yeah, I've been working on that, and I've been working a lot, so I haven't really been as up on game. I had to watch all of True Detective.
Absolutely.
So I was staying up all this week. I've been staying up till like 2 in the morning watching that show, catching up. I'm all caught up, finished it up, loved it.
Can you mention that you got a cool couple like Batman themed scripts on your site? I like. There's a really great Alfred story that you wrote.
Yeah, I wrote that. Wrote that one really liked. Quite a while ago, and now I've put it up to share with people. That's under the work under scripts.
I highly recommend it. Yeah, really good stuff. And
thanks, man. Yeah, and so that's kind of where it's at. You know,
so you'll be updating that a lot more in coming months and dropping loads of good stuff on there, right?
I've got plenty of stuff planned. It's just a matter right now of putting my head together and doing the work. It's, you know, it's easy to say like, oh yeah, I'll do that, and then after you work for 16 hours, the last thing you want to do a lot of times is sit down and get serious about something. So in my off time, I've been spending a lot of time like putting together ideas, putting together outlines. So I've got a bunch of stuff that's like ready to be worked on. It's just a matter of having the time and the energy to do so. I'm hoping on my trip I'll do a little bit of writing. I'm gonna bring along the computer.
You think you're gonna have time to do that
On the plane and stuff? I think
it's a good time.
I'll do a little bit of writing there, and maybe in downtime. I don't know. I would like to be that person who has to write every day, but I don't have to write every day. I don't have to do anything every day.
Why do they say to write every day?
Just like anything, you know, if you're trying to master something or develop a skill set, you just got to keep exercising. You got to stay sharp. So if you want to do visual arts, you should do it all the time. If you want to play music, you should do it all the time.
God, I don't have time to do things all the time.
Yeah, that's therein lies the challenge. I mean, we do waste a lot of time. I'll fuck around on a cell phone game or sitting around staring at the wall.
Speaking of cell phone games, we're all download this app called Untapped.
Mm.
Can we talk about Untapped a little bit?
The most dangerous game, the most deadly game.
I saw what its potential was last night when Richard was out of town, but Michael and I were hanging out drinking beer.
Felt like we were all hanging out though.
Untapped is. Well, that's part of the problem.
That's part of it. Yeah,
we're supposed to be apart sometimes.
So Untapped is an app for beer drinkers. If you like to drink beer, download Untapped, and what you do is you check in every beer you have, you do little check-ins like a social network, and you get badges for accomplishing, like, drinking 6 beers in a span of 15 hours or something like that. It's ridiculous. It's fucking silly, but we're all guys who like to level up and like badges and of honor and pride.
We like a
challenge each other.
Friendly competition.
Competition, and that's the problem, you know, like...
Yeah, that is. Hey.
Anyway,
so it can be a fucking problem. What? Where the fuck are we? What happened? Hey guys,
what's going on?
Hey, welcome to AdWords again.
We're having some serious technical difficulties.
This beer app is made for people who want to experiment and drink like different craft beers and stuff. But we found the challenges that are like, hey, drink a 6-pack. So, of course, we're like, maybe I don't have the money for all these fancy craft beers, but I can definitely drink a 6-pack right now. So, Jeff's working on his. Nice and easy. We got shit to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of going around, taking care of a few things, just trying to relax. All of a sudden, Dick gets to this party that he's going to, checks in a beer. 10 minutes later, checks in another beer. 5 minutes later, checks in another beer. I turned to Jeff and I was like, motherfucker, you're getting gained. And he was like, I don't know, man. I just had the sub. I'm like kind of stuffed up. And I was like, you got to move. Dick checks in another beer. I was like, you have got to go.
I posted at one point, I was like, 6-pack, I'll do a 6-pack.
6-pack, 12-pack, 18-pack. No big deal. I'm like working on a 6-pack for hours.
And Jeff called me a bitch. He was like, you're gonna bitch out or something like that.
Hey, come on.
At that point, I was like, oh, the challenge is on, Dick.
You didn't say that. You said, you're gonna become tired of beer and not drink that beer.
Yeah, that's that. You said that, and I said, touche.
and then proceeded to drink so many beers so fast.
I became alarmed at one point. I'm like, this is dangerous. We're challenging each other. Yeah. We're not even near one
another. This is not the intention of the app. It's you've got an entire week to do the 6-pack challenge.
No, I didn't.
Really?
I didn't.
Yeah.
A matter of hours.
The challenge says, like, hey, you got that 6-pack in the fridge? Why not drink one? You got 15 days or whatever to do this.
What?
Meanwhile, you guys are mainlining. I had done it the night before, of course, because I'm always looking for my spot.
Let's talk about how many badges have you received on this game?
I've got 40 so far. like
40?
Let's be honest. I went through when I first got this, and I checked in a bunch of beers that I knew very well. Like, I was like, oh, I can write a review. Because the thing is, you check it in and maybe you write a little review. So I went through Coors Light, checked it in, wrote a little review. Bud Light, checked it in, wrote a little review. So these are all beers that I've drank and I can speak to. But it doesn't mean, like, since I got this app, like, I drank all these beers. That came later.
So that's part of the thing now, is you gotta be drinking it, you take a photo of it, that you upload
you
as well.
Have photographic evidence.
I made sure to document every single beer, no matter how dark it got.
I saw that it got darker and darker.
Well, my method has been take the blurriest, shittiest picture I can. Jeff's method has been take the beer and hold it over the face of anyone you feel like doing a disservice to.
Including, but not limited to, small children.
And small children and dogs and family. Yeah.
Yeah, we all got our thing, for sure.
So yeah, we're talking, oh, I don't have time to work on my creative
budget. Meanwhile, we're over here fucking chugging beers.
It's competition
all day long.
On a stupid app.
Yeah. I don't have 70 time.
Miles, 70 miles apart.
I got my priorities, dude.
Where did all the time go?
Practice guitar. I think not.
No, I gotta come up with my Netflix picks. All 12 of them.
Oh, so, yeah. Chris. So, get on it. Join us.
You won't beat
Michael. You won't do it.
And you know what? There's bigger, badder fish in the sea. I follow this guy, Keith Knudsen, from the DC Noise podcast. And this guy is a soldier. He's not making a big deal about it. The guy just drinks all these weird drinks all the time. It's fantastic. Should look him up on there. Manticore.
It's made drinking a lot more fun, though, as of late. Because I've been going out and buying different shit. Like, uh-huh, shit I wouldn't normally drink.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through Safeway now. So.
And when you get that badge, it's like, all right, I got the North American IPA badge or whatever.
How sick did you get last night? At one point, after I'd pretty much given up, I saw that you popped in, like, beer bongs and shit that you were doing or something. Yeah. Really. How fucking drunk were you last night?
I was a little drunk.
A little drunk?
Yeah, well, I had some pizza, and then they had, like, ribs and shit there.
I thought for sure today you'd be out of commission. It's like, this guy is
my head hurts really bad. Did you hear my review? I don't think that was coherent. Did you hear me reading shit off the TV? That was horrible.
That's all right.
Yeah,
Dick, you got YouTube open. What are you doing?
We had a preview review that you and I spoke about.
Oh, yeah.
What,
we had two preview reviews that we spoke about.
No, I don't want to do mine anymore. It's stupid. Okay. The more I think about it, the stupider it sounds. But
we're going to do a preview review for Sin City 2, which is, apparently it's coming out this summer. Kind of slipped under the radar. And now it's happening. It's all happening. I was a big fan.
Only 10 years later.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the first one. So yeah, it's called Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. We'll pause this, we'll watch it, and then we'll break this thing down. So yeah, we just watched the preview. What the fuck, man? We just watched a preview for Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For, the follow-up to Sin City. And don't fuck around with that controller, dude.
We got the Apple TV going.
The Apple TV and its controllers controlling the computer that we're recording on, it ain't worth it.
If you hear any jankiness in this episode, it's this fucking controller that's wielding a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So this one, I liked Sin City 1 quite a bit.
Me too.
A lot of people, like, want to recreate their history and be like, I didn't like that movie. Yeah, right. Everybody liked it when it came out.
Dude, it was great.
Everyone liked it quite a bit. It's a very faithful translation of the comic book. And we liked the comic book of Sin City. The shit was cutting edge and grim and gritty at a time where, you know, you're 12 years old and you want that grim and gritty. You got the cool artwork and you got Frank Miller doing what Frank Miller does. Anyway, this movie looks to be, you know, clearly set in the same place, clearly directed by the same guy, Robert Rodriguez, clearly written by the same guy, Frank Miller. A lot of the same visual qualities going on.
I think they're using the same computers that generated special effects 10 years ago to
everything's, make this. Yeah, everything's going to be green screen.
No, but I mean, it's been 10 years since the original, and the special effects don't look any better than they did that long ago. Special effects have fucking gotten so much better in that span of time.
What more do you want?
Yeah, I'm just surprised it just doesn't look as good as I expected. I think this movie's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. I think watching is going to be fantastic.
I think it looks exactly as I expected.
I just thought the special effects would be a little less cartoony.
I think it's intentionally that way.
Because it's a literal translation of the comic?
Yeah, I think it's intentionally like, hey, this is over the top. Yeah. Anyway, it looks like Marv's back. It looks like Josh Brolin's in there. Who's that three-named fellow?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Flapping around. He's a guy with a golden eye. He's Josh Brolin. He's an Asian. Jeremy Piven's in this.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is back.
I mean, what really is there to say about this other than it looks like some candy?
It's going to be great.
Yeah, you're going to have fun with it, but it's not going to be one of those movies where on the way home you're talking about what this or that meant. It's not like Looper. Okay. You know, it's not like 12 Monkeys. I guess those are both time travel ones, so of course you're going to talk about those. But it's... I think it's just going to be like a straight-up popcorn movie. It comes out August 22nd, perfect time of the year to go avoid some of the heat, have some popcorn, have a big heaping mug of Coca-Cola.
Get an ice cream bar, maybe sandwiched between two cookies.
Smuggle in some tall cans and shh, shh.
Maybe cough each time you want to crack a can. That's what I do.
And pretend like no one knows what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone...
No one knows what I'm doing.
Really knows, but well aware.
I've smuggled beers in, and I've been flagrant with it, and my wife has been angry, and it's like, no, I think just cracking it and sticking it... I just stick it out, crack it, stick it in the little drink holder. No one cares.
No one gives
no
a
one
shit.
Really cares.
These 16-year-old kids that are working there after school, they don't care.
They get paid $6 an hour. They don't give a shit.
No, they don't. You worked in a movie theater.
I've done it. I know firsthand that we don't give a shit about that kind of stuff. People get all weird about sneaking snacks in their pockets or whatever. Like, oh my God, they're going to frisk me and find my M&M's.
I better dress like a pregnant woman so that I can
smuggle
care. In my shit.
Couldn't care less.
So, sometimes it'll have been so long since I've been to a movie that I'll forget that they don't frisk you. And I'll try and be like, Lindsay, you gotta hide all this in your purse, but like take some stuff out so it doesn't look too bulky.
I've seen older couples come in with a little bottle of Cab. Open it up, pour it into some wine glasses. They'll pull out some really smelly food from there, like smelly hot to go.
Some guy who ate like Indian food while I was trying to watch a fucking movie.
It was horrible.
There's a few things you don't eat in a public place: Indian food and tuna.
These guys were the rudest. They also talked and laughed throughout the whole movie while eating their fucking Indian food.
It's they're having their own good time. One time, I got on a plane. It was like an 8-hour flight, and there's a dude across from me sitting there eating samosas and
That's what I'm saying, man. And in enclosed like, public places.
Rude. You're flying around in a pressurized tube. And you're bringing the fucking... Something that, by its nature, is supposed to be aromatics.
Bringing the stank hard on that plane.
Top to bottom in the motherfucker.
I used to ride the bus down to Santa Cruz all the time. There was this one time someone got on and had a fucking tuna salad or some shit. And the fucking Greyhound stinks already.
It smells like a tuna salad.
Yeah. So I gotta deal with that plus this now. It's fucking horrible. I couldn't sleep because all I could smell was that. It just sucked. The bus left at like fucking 3 in the morning.
You guys ever have somebody bring in to work like seafood stew and insist on microwaving it for 12 minutes? They microwave it for so long that the entire place is forever going to smell like that.
Do they stop it every minute?
Pull it out, make sure that the aromatic bouquet gets spread.
Blow on it so it gets everywhere. No, but I've had people constantly want to eat popcorn and then overcook it and burn it so you just have that burnt popcorn smell.
That never goes away.
That just lingers. Yeah. Lingers and lingers.
Who pops popcorn these days, really? Buy a bag of that smart food. It already tastes like cheese for me.
Kettle corn. White cheddar. Whatever.
Some flaming hot Cheetos. People that are still popping corn, it's like, you know, somebody else already popped some of that for you. You're fine. You don't have to burn the shit out of yourself.
I see your point. I still pop corn.
Yeah, it's nice. When you're at home, though. Not like, hey, I'm going to be out and about today. I know what I need to do.
Grab a bag of popcorn and then find a microwave while I'm out and about.
I need to do this.
Yeah. It's nice to post up, put on a flick with a nice bowl of popcorn. Popping corn.
Yeah, popping corn. Remember with some real melted butter to it.
Ooh. Remember when it used to come those... little things you put on the stove.
The Jiffy Pop.
Yeah.
Where the foil turns into a big ball of fun. Then all the kids dig in and you're just smiling.
I hated that. You want to know why?
What?
I never met a single person. My babysitter would make it for us and my mother. And I don't think anyone ever didn't burn it.
It's a tricky one.
We also had a badass, like, big... popper thing where you just pour the kernels in there and then like
they pop out your own butter into a bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this.
I think it was tight.
Yeah. I suppose I haven't popped any popcorn probably more than a decade over here.
Yeah.
Like I did enjoy that Jiffy Pop when I was a kid when we could get it, and we did have a popcorn maker. Yeah.
The kind that you constantly burn on the stove.
Yeah, set on fire.
Oh, shit, I was in the bathroom, y'all.
Well, that's what happens when you put hot oil in a tinfoil pouch. fresh melted butter on some popcorn. You love it when you get that one that's all soggy.
Super soggy, soaked. Yeah.
And then you realize that it was just your little brother just sucked on one and threw it right back in there. My little brother used to do that. He would grab them and lick them, like get the flavor. He was a little baby. Grab them, lick them, get them all cleaned, and throw them back in there. And I'd grab one thinking that it was one of the buttery ones.
You're like, all right.
I'd throw it in. I'd already be smushing it around my mouth to savor it. And I realize, this doesn't taste like
this has no butter. Flavor.
This tastes like baby brother.
This is gross. Michael and Richard and I all worked together, and my first day, Michael warned me about eating the popcorn. One of our dudes would hand out.
A guy would, as a gag, this was a person with a disability and behaviors associated with it. He would get popcorn, and he would take it out back, and he'd put his own sauce on it. His own
salty sauce.
His own protein batch.
Really?
And then he would offer... popcorn to people and then laugh as they ate it.
You're gonna have to fill me on who this is off air.
But I've thought every time popcorn comes up or I see popcorn, that's really what I think of now. I'm like, I won't eat that. Oh, it's not that dude's popcorn. It's probably this batch might be okay.
This might be made by mother instead. All right, let's wrap this thing up by talking some comics. Jeff, you got a sack?
Got a sack. I bought a sack yesterday.
Sack.
And then we
Just burned through it last night. Let me start with, I think, Michael, you talked about this one before. This is one that you suggested. Wii 3. I picked that up last night hoping that maybe my lady would be into it as well. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Written by Grant Morrison.
And
art by Frank Quitely.
Yep, out on Vertigo. It was fucking great. I really liked it. This is made to be in filmed and
into a
movie. Oh my god, it's perfect.
Let's put a nice CGI team on this.
For real though.
I can do it upright. It's out on paperback now. It's been out on hardcover for quite some time, but I prefer it in the paperback.
I do too.
It's Frank Quitely, man, he can do some paneling, huh?
Fuck, like some shit I've never seen before in this book. It's a real simple read. I mean, there's not a shit ton of dialogue, just a lot more action.
Simple read, simple story.
But it's thoroughly enjoyable, though. Really, really, really liked it. I'm glad that you recommended it to me.
It's a good one for the bookshelf. You know, it's like something you can pull out and show to people and be like, look at that. That's what a comic book can look like.
Is it a newer book?
I think it originally came out like maybe 5-6 years ago. Oh, okay. I'd say.
Dick, have you seen this? Have you seen like this crazy paneling?
Oh yeah,
they do. That's ridiculous! Ridiculous.
And there's a nice section in the back. I don't know if it's in the back of the hardcover, but in the back of the softcover sections where they talk about some of their approach to how they put together the pages. There's some pages that have like hundreds of panels on them, and they talk about how they put those together. Really cool.
Very interesting.
Great team. They're the team behind All-Star Superman. Yeah. And some Justice League stuff and new X-Men, I believe.
And I also picked up this Arkham War, Forever Evil, Arkham War. I didn't know anything about it. I kind of just picked one up randomly and looked through it and saw some images that I liked. And so I picked up a couple to read and see what it's all about. Not the world's best written story with dialogue or anything like that, but a lot of fun little things. So what happens, I guess, Michael filled me in on this. I didn't know anything about the Forever Evil series that's going on right now, where I guess superheroes
it's pretty much like a company-wide thing that's going on, but it's got its own title, Forever Evil. That's coming out.
And so what happened is all the superheroes disappeared or killed.
I haven't been reading it. I've only heard, but yeah, something nullifies superheroes, and then the villains basically separate into two groups. One of truly villainous villains, and then the other is like villains who have become villains almost as a reaction to the superheroes, or because they want money or something, but they aren't necessarily completely evil. Well, they're when this like truly evil group of supervillains starts doing their shit, the villains that are just like evil because of greed or whatever, they kind of band together and they take they're like the surrogate heroes. But the way they go about being heroes, of course, isn't they aren't like Superman or Batman where they've got a strict moral code that they have to follow.
Which is what I was enjoying about this. So the Arkham War, it's a gaggle of supervillains from Arkham, you know, the Mr. Freeze, the Mad Hatter, Clayface, so on and so forth, and then there's Bane's crew. Bane has his own group of militant, you know, they're all from Blackgate, so it's kind of those two separate armies that are battling each other. And in a few books, he takes up the look of Batman and creates his own bat suit. And he's going around being Batman and just beating the shit out of people and being super fucking violent and crazy. It's really fucking interesting.
Say, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. no. But I don't know. It was really strange and interesting. I also liked that I saw...
You love these, like, Elseworlds type of
things. I do. Like, he teams up with fucking Talon at one point, him and Bane. And Bane and Talon running amok because he's dressed up as fucking Batman and Talon. It's the one it's Robin's grandfather, Nightwing's great-grandfather, or whatever. So those two run around as a dynamic duo in of sorts.
That's cool.
It's pretty fucking tight. And then, of course, in like the last issue of this that I have, Bane ends up dressing like the Bane from Chris Nolan's Batman. He ends up like kind of donning that suit, and I found that really interesting. How both like film and comic influence each other back and forth, and like the animated series influence, just how the whole world is just, I don't know how they all affect each other. You know, the different mediums that Batman is a part of.
It's really confusing though.
I find it really exciting. I like that they're like all blend together and influence each other and change the world.
But it almost, I feel like sometimes it almost makes it confusing.
I think there's too many fucking Batman books out there. I think that's confusing. But yeah, I don't know. If you just want kind of a fun little read, I think these are weird and enjoyable. They were good.
Word.
And of course, I picked up more of the Next Testament by Clive Barker.
Do you have the whole collection yet?
I have all the ones that are available right now. Okay. It's not quite done. Right. Yeah. There's about 6 more issues to go, and then it wraps up. Still going strong. Still good. Liking it quite a bit. Pretty fucking weird and scary.
Creepy.
Yeah, God. I mean, this isn't giving away too much, but he wants to find like the new empire, the new fucking kingdom. You know, and this guy, his buddy is kind of experiencing the world through right now. He's kind of his guide. Takes him to L.A. to be show him the major city of the United States right now. And he was not pleased and ends up killing everybody in L.A. just right away. Just because he's fucking God and he can do anything. You know? it was fucking wild. It was weird. Yeah, super cool book. Again, it's not like Game Changer or anything. It's not the world's best written book, but I really like it. I still recommend it to anyone who's interested in Clive Barker.
Yeah, I like the artwork in it, too. Like, the way that this god is represented is pretty rad, at least in the issues that I read. My comic book pick is Zero Trade Paperback, one by Leshcott and a variety of artists. And it works well using a variety of artists because the stories are happening in different spots on this particular secret agent's timeline. So, you know, you can have a different artist work on one issue that's happening in 1986 and then a different artist working on an issue that's happening in 2012. You know, it's clear that it's the same character. And certain other characters that pop up again, but it's okay to have different artists. And the artists are everyone that's represented in that book does a really fine job. Really, I don't even want to say too much about it, other than that it's really fucking awesome and it's really worth your time. Specifically, if you're like a James Bond kind of fan or a you know, a high adventure, I don't know, secret agenting type of person. If you're into secret agent shit, you're going to like this. And
I enjoyed it. I didn't read the whole series. I got, I think I have issues 1 and 2, maybe 3 as well. But I couldn't find the rest of them after that, so...
So get this trade. It's $9.99 from Image Comics. For $10, you get a nice thick trade, really well written, beautiful art. Even the design is really nice. You know, some comics, like, the cover looks just a little too comic-y, and maybe you don't want people to see you walking around with it. But this, it's like a fine art cover.
Kind of like East of West has really nice covers at all the
time. Yeah. It's like
really fancy, highly conceptualized cover.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my comic pick. You got one?
I don't have anything. No, I haven't read a comic.
You got a huge stack over here. I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It's looking good, Dick.
I haven't even. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay. Well.
I have about 2 months worth of comics sitting at the comic shop right now that I gotta go pick up.
That'll be a nice day. I gotta pee, and I also gotta wrap this episode up. My wife is saying I got to go.
You have to go.
That was a nice little episode.
It's short and sweet. We said we'd keep it about an hour, and it looks like you got 50 minutes instead. That other 10 minutes, you can spend time
fucking yourself
quietly. and spend time quietly reflecting on all the things that you've shared with you. Guys, thanks for tuning in again. We'll touch base again first chance we get. We got a lot of shit going on. Do your thing. Be nice to each other.